talked about? Probably no one. I don't. I don't remember what we talked about last time we talked about Luke. So that's embarrassing. But we were looking at the miracles. Remember, we looked at some of Jesus' miracles? Before we looked at Jesus' miracles, we looked at others in Luke, some of the other people in Luke. Does anyone remember? Devin, do you know any of the other people in the book of Luke?
John.
We did talk about John. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, that's good.
Matthew.
We didn't talk about Matthew. We talked about John, Mary, not Mark. John, Mary,
Joseph.
Luke, and there was one more. And actually, Sean talked about this guy. I think it was Zechariah. I think it was Zechariah.
Yeah.
Think so, right? Yeah. And then we moved on to some of the miracles that Jesus did. He calmed waters. He fed. He broke fish, broke loaves. Now we're going into this new section. We did the miracles. We did the others. And now we're doing the teaching. Okay, the teaching of Jesus. So over the next 10 weeks or so, we're going to look at different things that Jesus taught throughout Luke. There's so much that Jesus teaches in Luke. More than 10 weeks can cover. More than our lives can cover. But we're going to break these up. For the first 5 weeks, we're going to look at Jesus teaching on the plain. Does anyone know what a plain is?
Like an open area.
Yes, an open area. They didn't have those kind of planes back then. But yes, an open area. Were you about to say an airplane?
I was about to say yeah.
Yeah. They didn't have those kind of planes yet. But it was a plain, like an open area. And there's another passage in Matthew that is called the Sermon on the Mount. Does anyone know the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. What's that? Right. But here, Jesus is on top of a mountain with his disciples, and he comes down the mountain, and there's a big crowd of people. It's more than just 12. It's more than just his 12 apostles. But there's many disciples, many people coming to Jesus to be healed, to hear from him. And so Jesus stands in this large open area on this plain, and then he teaches them. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at what Jesus teaches these people as he's standing here on this big open area. And today we're beginning with the Beatitudes. Has anyone ever heard the word Beatitudes? The Beatitudes? Beatitudes, it's like the blessings, okay? Jesus, these are kind of known as the Beatitudes, the blessings that Jesus gives to people. So I'm going to read from Luke 6. I'm going to read verses 20 through 26, okay? These are blessings that Jesus is giving to people as he teaches them. So listen to these blessings as Jesus teaches the people. Luke 6, verses 20 through 26. Then looking up at his disciples, more than just the 12 disciples, it's a bunch of people, he said this, Jesus says this, "Blessed are you who are poor, because the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry now, because you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Take note, your reward is great in heaven, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the prophets." And then Jesus says this, "But woe to you who are rich, a warning to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are now full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the false prophets." Let me pray. God, it's so interesting in this passage that you say, "Blessed are the poor and the hungry, those who weep. Blessed are those who are made fun of, who are cast out." God, how can those be blessed? This isn't how our world often works. God, if any of us are feeling this way, poor or weak, empty, an outcast today, tonight, would you speak to our hearts? Would you show us that we are blessed? Would you show us, remind us that you invite us into your kingdom to be with you, even right now? Amen. All right. Anyone know what a revolution is? What's a revolution? Someone tell me. Revolution. Yes, Caleb. Big fight, okay. Yes? Yes?
I guess taking back from captivity.
Okay.
Like breaking the ways of something to reset.
Yes. It's kind of like an uprising, right? Like an uprising against people who have probably held you down before. So like a revolution, you oftentimes you gather people and it would be like a fight. You'd be fighting for your freedom or for something. So if you were to start revolution, okay, if you were to go into battle and fight for for power over another person or place or thing, who are two people you would bring with you? Yes, Caleb?
John
Luke?
John Wick.
John Wick? Okay, yeah, John Wick. That's a good answer, yes. Anyone else? You probably don't need anyone else. Okay.
Iron Man
and John Wick. Okay. Yes. Who? What are two people you'd bring with you if you're going to go, if you're going to start a revolution, start an uprising? Yes, Richie.
Mel Gibson. Specifically in The Patriot.
Okay. Anyone else? Or?
Oh, I don't know.
You already used it too, man.
No.
Okay, Sebastian, keep thinking.
Galactus and Danny DeVito.
Why would you? Okay, cool. Very cool. You used yours two up. I'm sorry. We can talk later about your other people.
I can delete them.
No, you can't. You can't. They're locked in. Anyone else? Who would you bring?
I don't know.
Richie?
My second would be Elon Musk because he can just buy everything.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Smart thinking. Caleb, tell me after. Yes, Harper. A really strong dog in Donald Trump. That's who you bring. A dog. You choose a dog too. Okay? Caleb, I'm sorry. Anyone else? Who would you bring? Zyger, who would you bring, bro? Two people. Who's he going to bring? Name one and then Griffin will bring one.
We're 13.
Yeah, I'm taking my Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave? Yes. Cool.
I'll take my Uncle Tony.
Uncle Tony and Uncle Dave bringing the uncles. Caleb, yes, tell me.
Thanos.
Yeah, Devin. Oh, okay, that's fine. I thought you were in the
room. I wanted to say something.
Well, keep thinking. It's okay. Yes.
Ah,
two youth pastors. Yes. Very cool. You can bring me if you want. Sebastian, you already answered, didn't you?
What are you talking about?
Give me one more.
Jesus.
The Rock and the dog. Okay, cool. Thank you for telling me who you'd bring to a revolution. The reason I'm talking about revolutions is because I think, in a way, Jesus' words here are kind of revolution-starting words. He's trying to gather a group together. He's trying to gather a group together, stir people up to take on a new way of life, to bring about a new way of life, a new kingdom, okay? One that is better than the current state of things. But there's something weird about Jesus' revolution here, okay? The people that Jesus is choosing to bring with him, the people that Jesus is choosing to bring this new kingdom with him, they're not people who you might expect to be part of revolution. For a revolution, a lot of you name people who were strong, right? Who had money. Who said Elon Musk? Who had power. Like, they're strong, money, power. A lot of you said people probably are your Uncle Tonys. I'm guessing they're tough guys, maybe. Uncle Tony and Uncle Dave?
No,
you just want to bring them because you love them.
It's my Uncle Dave,
yeah. It's your Uncle Dave, yeah. People you love, people you get along with. Oftentimes, for a revolution, hey, Devin, I might have to move one of you guys if you keep talking, all right? For a revolution, oftentimes, you want to bring people who are powerful and strong. But Jesus is stirring up, he's not stirring up the powerful and the strong, but Jesus is stirring up these kind of people, okay? The poor, blessed are the poor, Jesus says. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name because of the Son of Man. These are the people that Jesus is stirring up to take part in his kingdom, in his kingdom come, in his revolution. This revolution that Jesus is starting is the kingdom that Jesus speaks of. I think it has to be different than what the current kingdom is, the current power is, because it begins with the powerless. Jesus chooses the powerless, not the powerful. We see this in verses 20 through 23, right? The poor, the hungry, the empty, the outcast, the sad, the ones who are weeping. Jesus uses his power. Someone said they're going to bring Jesus. Luke, did you say that?
No.
Who said Jesus? Sebastian. Yes, good answer. Jesus uses his power to actually lift up the powerless. He doesn't go and choose other powerful people, but he actually chooses the powerless. And this is, I think, the way in the teaching of Jesus that he's teaching here in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Plain. Even Jesus goes after the powerless. And this is kind of opposite to a lot of us, right? If we were gonna go into a fight, into a battle, if we were going to want to see a new kingdom come, we would probably want to choose the powerful. Because we ourselves would want to be the powerful. We want to exalt ourselves. You know, even sometimes when we help others, out of a desire to actually gain power or to gain prestige or gain a reputation, a good reputation. We use power to gain more power, to gain status, to get a better reputation, popularity, money, success. What's up, though? Did you say that? Oh, okay. But that's what we often do. We use our power for that. But Jesus teaches us here that this isn't the way of his kingdom. Because he even gives warning. He gives warning to those who are seeking power. In verses 24 through 26, let me read those again. But woe to you. A woe is like a warning. But warning to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. A warning to you who are now full, for you will be hungry. A warning to you who are now laughing. I see a lot of laughing out here. For you will mourn and weep. A warning to you when all people speak well of you. For this is the way their ancestors used to treat their false prophets. This revolution that Jesus is starting, this kingdom that Jesus is bringing, is one that is built on the powerless. Jesus invites not the powerful, but the powerless to partake in his overturning of how things work, of this current kingdom, so that a new reality might come. One where the lowly, the outcast, the powerless, the poor, the hungry, they are lifted up and get to partake in this kingdom. So to close here, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this passage one more time. Before I do that, though, I'm going to give you some instructions. As I read this passage, I want you to listen. I want you to close your eyes. You don't have to close them yet. But as I read it, close your eyes and just listen to the words. And what makes your ears perk up? What stands out to you? What words stand out to you as you listen? Blessed are the poor. Does that resonate with you? Blessed are those who weep. No, you're good. You can just keep your eyes open. It's okay. Does that resonate with you? I'm going to read in a second. Warning to you, but woe to you who are rich. Does that resonate with you? Warning to you who are now laughing. Does that resonate with you? As I read, I just want you to listen and be present to Jesus and how Jesus might be speaking to you in this moment through this passage. Right? Blessed are those who are hungry. Will Jesus, you might be thinking, will Jesus really feed me? Or blessed are those who are searching or who weep. Blessed are those who weep. Will Jesus really fill me and turn my sorrow into laughter? You know, I think a lot of us, if we're honest, we don't really have much to offer Jesus. Sometimes we think we do, or sometimes we think that we have something to offer. But we don't. And the beauty of this is that Jesus' kingdom is for the powerless. So let me read this passage. As I read, close your eyes, listen. I'm going to give space for about 5 minutes just for you to silently pray by yourself, and then at the end I'll close. So I'm going to read this passage. We'll have about 5 minutes of silence for you just to reflect on this passage and talk to God. Listen to how Jesus might be speaking to you, and then I'll pray at the end. Let me read Luke 6, 20 through 26. Then Jesus, looking up at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, because the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry now, because you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you and slander your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Take note, your reward is great in heaven. For this is the way their ancestors used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are now full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the false prophets.
God, would you continue to speak to us, even as we go home, even as we go home and maybe finish up homework or scroll TikTok or spend time with our families or whatever we have going on. God, would you speak to us? Would you show up and speak to us? God, would you speak to the most inner parts of us, even though we might project a person who is full and not needy and powerful. God, I would guess that most of us, myself included, deep down feel powerless and poor and hungry and like an outcast in many ways. So God, would you help us just to be open? Would you bring that to the forefront of who we are? And would you meet us there, reminding us that we are blessed when we are powerless, and that actually we are invited to partake in your kingdom, to know you, to be with you, especially when we are powerless. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.